Depth and the meaning of these, Lord, to express, Lord, all that you are to us, for us, Lord. And as we go through each one, we say, you are. It's you. You are my strength. You are my shepherd, my victory, my righteousness. It's all you. Lord, what a place of rest, what an identification that we have in you, Lord. And truly, you're more than enough. More than enough, Lord, for us. So tonight, Lord, we just rejoice in you. We delight in you, all that you are for your people. Lord, we look to you tonight just for a touch of grace again on a Wednesday night with tired, weary bodies, tired, weary minds. Lord, we ask you to come and stir up and just feed us, draw us, meet our needs, Lord, as only you can. We ask for special blessing, Lord, for those who can't be here, Lord, and ask that you would just supply every need that they have, Lord. Truly, our rest, our faith, our confidence is in you, Lord. We bless you. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Actually, could we just sing that one more? Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Worship him tonight.
Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate you. every one of you. Thank you, Sister Laura, for filling in. Appreciate it. I don't know. We'll see. Try that. The caller up here. All right.
Just make sure it's aimed at your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. That's the key thing. So anyone is welcome to just provide feedback if I need to speak up or move or whatever. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you again, musicians, and thank you, Sister Laura. You know, I just noticed we had Lily at the cello, you at the piano, and David in the back. I mean, you're setting the bar pretty high here for the rest of us, so really appreciate it. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is good. Well, we had a... tonight's Wednesdays can be kind of tough. We had a great, I think some of you heard this, we had the last youth group, we had a good time, I think. Hopefully the young people agree, but we had an excellent question from one of the young people. They said, who has tips for helping me stay focused in church? I thought, oh my, that's good. Whatever you find out, please share. We'd all like to know. So how about let's stand. Let's just stand for the duration of... We're going to stand. We will get there. We'll stand for the duration of the service, and that's my tip for staying awake on a Wednesday night. We'll just stand. So anyway, Lord is so good to us. All is well. Anybody heard anything new from the Schwartzes or the... No? Constantly just with them in prayer, and just glad we can bear these things with them and carry them. I know that some of the sisters have been up there to the hospital several times. Dad's been up there pretty regularly with Brother Greg, and so glad we can do our part from here, I guess, whatever we can to pray and to help to support one another, so to support them. They need it. So, yeah, stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. It's just that, what an hour, what a time. And I think, you know, what I was just thinking of is a couple things before we get into this. But have confidence that you are where you're supposed to be. The Lord has placed you exactly this season. He could have put you in any, through all the ages. He placed you here for a reason. So you are right where you're supposed to be. Going through what you're supposed to be going through for a reason. And that's actually what we're going to kind of get into tonight. But another thing, I was thinking about this. I thought, oh, Lord, help us to, we get so scrambled, you know, just if I can use that phrase, with life and things going on around us. And I was just thinking of Abraham the other day, just, you know, Sodom was terrible, awful. We know that. But Abraham was set apart. He was outside. And guess what? I think he was pretty well occupied. He had a very special visitor that he was entertaining. And we have not a visitor, but one in our midst. Let's be so conscious of that. May that be what occupies our hearts and our minds and our thinking and the reality of who is here, what this age is, the open book, and that mighty angel that's come down in this day. May our focus be there. So lots to get discouraged about if we're looking in the wrong direction. So Lord, constantly keep us just centered, focused, and all those things. So, okay. Well, we can stand for a few minutes. You can continue to stand if you'd like to. If you need to stay awake. All right, well, let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Brother Derek, I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to use a couple of your scriptures. They just tie in. So the Bible's like that. It's rich, it's full, and we can draw and keep drawing so much. All right, so Jeremiah 29. Bet you can't guess which verse. All right. Yes, you are correct. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. to give you an expected end. Now let's think about that tonight. We're going to think about his thoughts. Our thoughts don't matter, but what about his thoughts? That's what matters. Okay, and then over to John chapter 1. And just read a couple here. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down to 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. You can be seated, and you just think of that beautiful progression of even going back in Jeremiah there, chapter 29, the thoughts in God's mind. Those thoughts, of course, became word. And each one of us, it's the reality of his word being expressed in us and through us. So we have a part in this too. The word was made flesh, his word made flesh in each one of us. So we just want to take a thought tonight of, might sound maybe a little strange, but walking in the vision, walking in his vision, what was in his mind before time, before the foundation of the world, what was there that's now playing out, and we're simply playing out our part in this great drama that he has set, he's orchestrated, he's designed it all. We're all now be just experiencing this. I love Brother Branham in the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, where how he says God's great secret mystery he had before the world began. He says now back in the back part of God's mind. I like that. I always love that phrase, that term. Just think about that. A prophet who could take us and put that in that such a beautiful way. Back in the back part of God's mind. We now know there was something he was trying and he was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. What else was there in the back part of his mind? In him was attributes, thoughts, you. So, again, walking in the vision, his words being, his thoughts being expressed in this day. Brother Bram said in the message also, identification, in the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, God's an object of worship. We know that. Only thing he was the eternal, and in him was attributes, and those attributes were thoughts, and those thoughts were expressed to words, and the word was made manifest. So just like we read in John chapter 1. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible, and you're a part of God. So see, it's all his great plan, his great drama. I love that it's all these things. So it's all God becoming tangible and you're a part of him. He says, and Jesus come to redeem those that was put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thoughts, and that's what he come to redeem. And as soon as it strikes them, they see it because there's life in there. So just want to set this tonight, like this kind of a drama, and again, take this thought of walking in the vision, each one of us, we have our part in this great drama, but it's all God's thoughts becoming tangible, becoming expressed, becoming material. And I you know, for whoever may need this, you know, I hope this is encouraging. I would say, let's look at some scriptures here in a moment, but the old enemy, that old devil, he's good at, like I said, kind of getting our eyes on the wrong thing, and we can get all worked up and worried. We can begin to despair if we're looking at the wrong things and begin to fret and be discouraged. Let's not do that tonight. Let's be encouraged. Let's go again. Let's see what he sees, and let's see the power of his infinite mind and in his will and his purpose, and that everything, as the scripture says, is working together for the good of them that are called. Amen. So even David, I love this. I think we can identify in Psalm 37, he says, fret not. just, I like those words by themselves. Fret not. Yeah. Don't be discouraged. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They're, you know, I think some are maybe more predisposed to kind of that fretting and worrying and all those things. But just dismiss that. Get rid of it tonight. I think that's something, you know, I've found in my life, and you guys maybe some of you are more positive. Maybe some of you are maybe not so positive. I don't know. I tend to be pretty positive. I get that from Mom. You know, but it just, you think about just worry and fretting and those things. That's just another form of fear. And the enemy comes in and he just sows things in our hearts and our minds and tries to get us discouraged. Well, what about this? And what about that? And oh no, I don't. And he's rolling over and over in your mind. And it's just, you're just worn out sometimes. Dismiss him. Recognize where that comes from. So let's set our hearts tonight on the reality of his sovereignty and his goodness. And again, the vision, his mind, what was back in the back part of his mind that is now being fulfilled and being unveiled, and that we're all a part of in this great, beautiful drama. All right, just continuing on there in Psalm 37, this is verse 7, rest, here we go, rest in the Lord. That's what we need to do, rest in him. Wait patiently for him. Here it is again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So I think these are just good areas where we can examine ourselves and remember to just refocus, recalibrate our perspectives, our vision, our hearts. And let's look above this realm. Let's look at who's in supreme control, who's working all things. Let's look higher tonight. We're reminded also, I'm just going through a couple in Psalm 37 here, but Psalm 37:23, further down, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So just stop and think about that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you are, again, just taking this thought of walking in the vision of what is in God's mind before time, and now it's playing out. I didn't actually, here, bear with me, didn't actually add this to my notes, but I'm going to read it because I was back there and just meditating on some of these. This is from, here you go, this is perfect. The title of the message is Be Not Afraid. So go listen to that one. He says, do you all believe God is infinite? Well, if he's infinite, he would know you can't even wrap your mind about this, but let's try. Let's just think about this for a minute. If he knowed every flea that would ever be on earth, stop, think about that. How many times it would ever bat its eyes, how much tallow it would make before the foundation of the world. Now, that wouldn't even half express infinite. Okay, so he's so perfect. Oh, I like that. Till he knowed that everything that we would ever do. He knowed every time how long your fingernail would be. How many times you batted your eye. And how many times you moved your finger before the world ever began. Every individual. That's infinite. See, there's just no explaining it. Again, I think that's awesome. Let's dwell on that for a minute, but the context here is that God is so supremely in control, and he's working out all things according to his will, to his purpose. And I love what the prophet brought out there of just infinite. And if you think, you know, it's I think it's so core to his ministry and foundational to his ministry, because you see this repeat all the way through, and you see three things that he brought out and over and over and over, and that is God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And if he's not God. And it's that essence of who he is that influences, I guess, if you could say that, so many other aspects of who God is. So again, maybe we'll just tonight meditate on these things together. But I think if we could just get a little bit more of a picture of that reality, then these things begin to settle down. We begin to settle ourselves down, to understand how greatly he is, how great his will, his purpose, etc. So let's go into some scriptures tonight. And, you know, I was thinking of a few of these, so bear with me, but this might seem a little strange to start with. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. You know, because again, we can get rather discouraged, maybe looking at some things, looking at the conditions of the world, the things we, you know, just so disturbing sometimes. But let's take a look at a few things. So Isaiah chapter 54 and end of the chapter. It says, "Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy." Think about that. So he is in complete control. He knows exactly. But to say, I have created, and not just knows, I've created the waster to destroy. But keep reading. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Rest in that. "And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." There we go. That's just so awesome. And then, of course, in the New Testament, you've turned me to Romans chapter 9. You can see just this thought continuing. And I'm actually starting out in terms of looking at maybe what we might consider things that are negative. Okay, he's created the waster to destroy. Look at Romans chapter 9. We'll drop in at verse 9, I think. "For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son." And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, "for the children not being yet born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. As it was said, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then is not him of him that willeth or him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Here we go in verse 17. "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth." So we can see there, just, we could keep reading, but I think, let's go a little bit further down. Let's drop down to 21. "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath, fitted unto destruction, that he might make known the riches of his mercy on the vessels, the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory?" Oh my. So what else can you do but just bow your head before him and say, "Lord, it's grace. And here I am. I find myself in this place. I see you. I see you've called me. I see your grace and your mercy. What am I but a recipient?" And so each one of us in that, the reality of him, again, playing our part, our position that he's put us in by his grace and by his predestination. Amen. Just a few more. Ephesians chapter 1. Really common, but it's so good to remind ourselves of these things. Ephesians 1 verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him." All right, there, a key word there. Hath. Past tense. Hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Amen. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh my goodness, it's hath. But you go through there and it's hath, hath, hath. It's his finished work. It's what he did. It's what he's ordained before time, before the foundation of the world. So we are now experiencing the beauty, the depth, the fullness of that plan, and we're now walking, if I could use that term again, walking in the vision, walking in what he has planned and purposed and ordained before time. I want to share something. This is so incredible. I love this. It just ties it perfectly. I think we've been over it before, but this is in the message, things that are to be. He says, your birth here was pre-planned. I guess you believe that. Every one of you knows that your birth was pre-planned. Do you know that your being here never originated just as a myth or a thought? Everything was all pre-planned by God before the foundation of the world that you would be here. And the infinite God knew, and to be infinite, he had to know, here we go, he had to know every flea that would ever be in the earth, how many times it would bat its eyes. That's infinite. Our little minds can't fathom what infinite means. The infinite God, he knew all things. Therefore, there's nothing out of cater. There we go. That's where we kind of dial back in the binoculars and we say, okay, everything's good. He's perfectly in control. He knows it all. He rules. He reigns. We're just playing out our part by grace, walking where he's ordained us to walk. He says, if we know the word of God, we know where we are living. We know the hour we're living in. We know what lays ahead. I like that. We see where we've passed, and the book of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ, his works through the ages. It was up in the book of Revelation, and then his promises that is to come. So all his promises are true. God cannot speak any word without it being for any. He goes on here, but all before the foundation of the world, everything was pre-planned by God. He knows all of it. Nothing is out of cater. Repeat after me. Nothing is out of cater. Thank you, Lord. Okay, where else? We're going to go into some scriptures again. Romans chapter 8, of course. That we would really, you know, read that whole chapter, really. But we're going to just We know that all things. That's easy to say, but we gotta stop and think about it. All things. We just skim right over all things. It's not a misprint. It's not an error. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are all the called according to his purpose. And here we go again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. So do you see that progression? Do you see where you are now fitting in and you're walking? Walking in this? What is the vision? It's the word and will and mind of God, and we're just now experiencing it. It's the word coming into flesh in our lives, that which was in his mind before time, manifested now in us in this age, and we're experiencing that, walking in it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to the Old Testament for a couple more. Psalms chapter 33. And I love this. Psalm 33 and verse 11. Says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Think about that. Cannot fail, cannot pass. So So again, as we read in the beginning, Jeremiah 29:11, behold, I know the thoughts that I think. It's his thoughts that become expressed, become manifested, become materialized, cannot fail, and we're all experiencing it, walking in it, and part of that very same word, that same life. All right, over to Jeremiah chapter 1. I just wanted to take a different look at this. Because as we think about the infinite mind of God and him purposing and willing and planning and all these things in the beginning, this is always so beautiful. This come stuck out to me. And Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, before, he's of course speaking here of the prophet, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now we look at this and it's perfect, that's beautiful. But let's take this personal. I ordained you a housewife, a father, a husband. I ordained you. I called you. I set aside you. You're in the same. You're one of mine. You're my children, my elect, and I've ordained you before the beginning of time to play this part that you're playing. So you are my child, and you're now walking in the vision, what I had in my heart and my mind before the foundation of the world. Amen. And that word, as we read, as the prophet even describes it so perfectly, we know that the word of God cannot fail. It's going to accomplish, as we read in Isaiah 55, exactly what he's purposed, exactly what he's ordained. It cannot fail. It cannot not come to pass. So we take rest in that. Brother Branham, I love this in the message. Christ has identified the same in all generations. He says, look at this. He says, many times we get nervous, and we begin to think, well, it ought to be this way, and we've got to make this way or make it that way. Anybody kind of identify with that? I like what he says next. We don't have nothing to do into it. Just play our part that he leads us to play. Rest in him. Let me repeat again. Nothing is out of cater. It's all perfectly in order. And he says that again here. He says, play our part that he leads us to play. Remember, there's nothing out of cater. The great omnipotent God knows just exactly before the foundation of the world that we would sit here tonight. If he's infinite, he has to. So he can't be infinite without knowing all things. And by his foreknowledge, he knew that this meeting would be here. And perhaps ordained of him, I trust, is to bring some more into his kingdom. I like that. God in the beginning, he was just God. But he wasn't really God. He was just eternal. Our English word God means an object of worship. And there was nothing to worship. He was the self-existing Elohim. So there was nothing to worship him. He says, but in him was attributes. There we go. And the attributes is thoughts. Just like you have to think anything before you speak. When you speak, it becomes a word. And then he is the eternal, and in him is attributes. So I love the way he brings it together. So ponder these things. And again, let's go back in our minds to Jeremiah 29 as we read, I behold, I know the thoughts that I think of you. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. It's all you and me in him in the beginning, and now playing out that part that he's ordained. He says, but in him was attributes, and attributes is thoughts, just like you have to think of anything before you speak. And I'm repeating this, then you speak, it becomes a word, and then he is the eternal. In him was attributes. He spoke it in the Word. It was the Word, and the Word is made manifest. And as the Word is made manifest, it's God becoming material. All God becoming tangible, becoming material. And you're a part of that, walking in that great vision of God. He says, so everything is right on time. I like that. Let's just continue to repeat that over and over. Everything is right on time. We don't have to worry about that. He'll have everything. He never let his enemies override him. He'll let the enemy do certain things to lead the people into temptation, to try his child and so forth. For Every son that comes to God must be chastened to God and tried. Amen. He just moves on there. But I love how he takes us back into, again, the heart, the mind of God. A few more as we kind of continue here. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 46. And verse 9, again, just speaking to the wisdom of Almighty God. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Rest in that. Hold that close. When the devil gets you fretting and stewing and worrying and wondering, go back to these things and meditate on these things. Nothing is out of order, as the prophet said. We could go through so many, but I'm just going to touch on a few more. Of course, Daniel comes to mind. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. There's so much there in Daniel for us to draw out. All right, I'm just going to pick a couple verses here because we could really read a lot of this, but I love this. So this is in chapter 2, verse 44. It says, I'm so sorry because we are literally just dropping in for a couple things. I think it really helps illustrate this, but you know the setting, you know this part of the chapter. Verse 44, chapter 2, and in the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom. Is he doing that? Amen. Which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. I like that. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these things, and it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom we're a part of. And then verse 45, for as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great king, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. There we go. Is that a reality, brothers and sisters? You in him, part of him, before time, now this beautiful plan of redemption playing out, each one of us with our part, walking in his will and his purpose, walking in the vision, if we could say it that way, fulfilling what he has ordained for each one of us, all part of his perfect plan. And then over to chapter 4, just real quick, we know the story here with Nebuchadnezzar, but as that story goes again, I think that's so good to remind ourselves. Verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Who rules? The Most High. And giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it, yes, the basest of men. We get all wrinkled, we get all upset, discouraged, whatever. Look up. Remember who reigns. Remember who's in control, who's purposed and ordained all these things. He reigns and he rules alone. Oh my goodness. All right, just a few more things here. I like this. Brother Branham in the Message. Christ is revealed in his own word. He says, now the stabilizers has been put on the ship. I like that. Think about that. We're just wrapping up here. He says, listen to this. He says, great fearful waves are out here before us. But we know just above that wave yonder, we're nearing the shore. See, we're nearing the shore. Just stay, I like this. He says, stay stabled. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Stay stabled, stay in the word, stay with God, no matter how you feel. Ooh, that's a good reminder for us. No matter how you feel, what anything else, stay with the word, stay with God. Amen. Let's stay stable. And when you see all these great big old clouds around us, storms coming, atomic bombs, and everything else they're talking about, but our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said it would be here and we'll crest every one of them. We'll go right over the top. He's bringing us home. Yes, indeed, they can't sink us. They can't drown us. You can put us in the grave. We'll come out again. That's all there is to it. There ain't no way for the world to keep it down there. We'll crest every one because our great chief captain is calling on the other side. All ordained, pre-planned by God, all purposed. We're now just walking in it, experiencing it. Part of his great drama, part of his great masterpiece, his word, his thoughts expressed. Amen. I hope this is encouraging. I hope it's a blessing. One more. This was hard, but I did it. I saved the best for last. Musicians, if you want to go ahead and come. And this is, again, Brother Derek, this is one you shared recently, but I thought, oh, this is good. Let's turn there together, Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 3. Give you a minute just to get there. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end. When? At the end. It shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I love that. The vision is yet for an appointed time, and we think of this hour. My goodness, what has been fulfilled? That word, that vision that has been come to pass in our age. The mighty angel descending, the open book. All these things that we're now partaking of. At the end, it shall speak. Amen. He has spoken. We're living in it. We're experiencing. We're walking in the vision. The word expressed, the word ordained before the beginning of time. Think of it. So let's go back to where we started. Jeremiah 29. Behold, I know the thoughts that I think. Forget about your thoughts. What did he think? Were you there? Were you part of him? Are you that word expressed? Are you that word manifested in this day? Amen. I believe we are by his grace. Nothing, repeat after me, nothing is out of cater. Nothing is out of cater. He is in control. Amen. Let's just worship the Lord. If you'd stand with me. I think there's that song. Emma, if you could, he knows my name. I don't know if that's actual title or if it's. Try that if we could. Yes. Hang on. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
called my name. He knew me in his thoughts. He saw me before time. I heard him when he called.
Oops, sorry. Were we done? Are we?
Knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call.
Amen. Isn't that precious? Do me a favor. Go home tonight. Read Psalm 139, because I think that's exactly what this kind of speaks to. Psalm 139. All right, one more. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. Amen. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be one more time. Think about his goodness, his word, his will.
Mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee.
Amen, amen. Think about his will, his purposes, unmovable, unshakable. And that includes you, because you're right there in his heart, in his mind, before time. We're now just expressing it in this age that he's ordained, he's placed you. Amen. Don't you love him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just bless you tonight. We pray that these words would go deep and minister to each heart. Lord, would you just deliver him and express him in the way that each one needs, Lord. Be lifted up, and may you be greatly magnified in our hearts tonight, Lord. Your purpose, your will, your plan, Lord, that cannot fail. Your word will stand. And Lord, we, by your grace, a part of that word, a part of that will, now living in this age, experiencing you and your purpose, Lord, you reign supreme. Lord, I just pray that these things would be, that we would just refocus ourselves tonight and be reminded of these things. And again, we just give you thanks. We give you praise. May your word have preeminence in our hearts, we pray. We commit ourselves and the rest of the evening into your hands, and we continue to lift up the Schwartz family. We pray that you would just nurture, support, carry, strengthen them, Lord. Be very near to them, Lord, and all the other needs have been lifted up and brought before you. We lift them up as well. Just go before us, Lord, we pray. Keep our hand in yours and our eyes on you, we ask. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you.